Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Terry.
I'm Gary.
We down here on the riverbank for an old tradition of catfishing for a big old greasy fish fry. And so we down here to get some stories at the catfishing before the fish fry. So y'all just sit back and get ready to go back in time to some wonderful stories.
With the twins.
The twins.
Terry and Carrie.
Well, back in the day, we had a lot of Mayrite plum trees. And I don't know, we picked a whole bunch of them that day. Rayburn Holden was hauling them out. But he left 5 12-quart baskets of plums in the field. And they had sat there about 2 days in that sun. And Uncle John Thomas, he said, Murder, he said, if you don't mind, I'd like to take them and make some plum wine. And he said, when I get it made, I'm just going to have a small glass before each meal. And Uncle John, he could pull them.
For the stomach's sake.
Yeah.
From my belly.
Anyway, he took me in there, and that stuff been thumping off. He took me in there and showed it to me. And Aunt Jean told him, said, now, John, if you get drunk, said, I'm going to pour it out. Well, it got ready, and Uncle John got him some and headed to Walt's, your granddaddy.
This is back before he got saved now, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's before he got saved. Hallelujah. Anyway, they drank that up, and they come to get some more. And Aunt Jean, she knowed they were going to get drunk, so she got it and took it across the road and poured it out in the kudzu patch. Well, John and Walt, they come up and went in the smokehouse. There wasn't no plum wine there. And they said, Emma Jean, where's my plum wine? It's over yonder in the kudzu. And Walt, he said, Emma Jean, said, surely to goodness, as good as that was, you didn't pour that out. She said, I did. Said, it's over there. Said, y'all can go over and eat that kudzu.
If you want it back.
And that's about the last of that.
Poured it out. So the kudzu was feeling good, though.
Hey, I wondered, we had a kudzu patch back behind the house. That wasn't why they dug all the kudzu up looking for it, was it?
Granddaddy Thomas got that kudzu out of Tennessee.
He brought it here?
Yeah.
Oh,
he brought it here, brought it to there, and he put it in areas where it would wash.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some in front of grandmother's, and there's some over there above the old Dent house.
Yeah.
Where he put it over there.
Now, he didn't know that it was going to take over the world, though, when he brought it in here.
No, that stuff will grow a foot a night, won't it?
I think that's right.
It's like a cancer. Mm-hmm. It is bad.
It'll get on it.
All right, Terry, give us one of yours.
You can get rid of it, though.
Well, Terry said he was starting on one a while ago, something about we want to hear.
It was back in about 1952. R3, but I'm pretty sure it was 52. Come a big cold spell when all the peaches were bloomed out. And the first night, the first day or two before the freeze, they just cut wood and stuff out of the woods and cured and piled up in the orchard.
Tars.
Didn't hardly have no tars then, come on. And anyhow, they burnt that, and then the next night, they had a few tars, and they learned them tars to do the trick. So the next day, we hauled tires all day. Wherever you could find any tires at the service station, hauled them to burn the next night. And I know them big deep haulers over at Graysville, we went over to a service station, and when they get through with a big tire, or any tire, they just rolled it down the hill. And it was way down yonder, too. Boy, we rolled tires out of that holler. I couldn't get the big truck tires, but I could get the little ones. Anyhow, we burnt tires that night all night. And Uncle Brady, which he was talking about Uncle John, they brothers, their daddy's brothers, they, him and
Walt,
Shane's granddaddy, Walt, they was, this is after World War II, they was in they went to school learning, is learning about agriculture, that's what it was all about. But just getting paid to go to that school. And they went to school, and instead of going back home after school was over, they got to drinking and having a big time. And right at daylight, they wound up there in the field where we was at, telling their stories about what all had happened that night. They got into somebody's ducks because they kept on saying, boy, we potted them ducks. Boy, we potted them ducks.
And Potty Brady.
Potted them ducks.
Potty Brady.
They didn't want to go to court. Walt wasn't married, but Uncle Brady wasn't, but he wanted to go anywhere but home.
So what does potted ducks mean?
It's hitting them. You know, they potted them.
Potted Brady.
Yeah. Potted, so potted, you mean
they'll never get it.
Yeah. When they say potted, they was getting them in the pot, getting them ready to put in the pot.
They're just
I don't know what they're doing.
They're just whooping them ducks.
Somebody's tame duck somewhere.
They're whooping the ducks. That's what they was called, potting them.
Whooping them.
Hitting them with rocks or
teaching them a lesson.
Whatever. Yeah. Teaching them ducks a lesson. Now I got a nut.
Okay.
Head on out.
1954. Y'all both done told me that y'all know about the Hendricks Hole.
I know where the Hendricks Hole is.
Hardy wasn't up at this end where we camped out all the time. It was down at the lower end of the Hendricks Hole. Me and Kerry, it was on Sunday. Me and Kerry and Tony Hayes went down there to go swimming. And Tony couldn't swim.
We didn't know that.
Well, he told us he couldn't swim. That's the reason we told him not to come in. But I told you you weren't supposed to talk when I'm talking.
Okay.
But anyhow, so we went down there swimming, and Tony stated they was about, you could walk out in there and it's about waist deep on a ledge, and then you had deep water for about 40 yards was deep. Over your head.
Yeah, over your head.
Then you could get on another ledge before you got to the other side. Anyway, me and Kerry was out there swimming. Tony, he was wanting to come in. We said, no, Tony, don't come in. You can't swim. So we were swimming, having a big time, and getting on the ledges and jumping back in the water. We were on the ledges. You was in about
waist deep
water. But anyhow, first thing you know, we heard the water just a splash, and Tony had dove in. And he was fighting it. I'm talking about just as hard as he could, man.
Doggy paddle.
Well, no, he was going overhanded. Yeah. He was fighting it, and he made it over halfway across that deep water. And we saw he wasn't going to make it, and me and Kerry went out there for the rescue. And he got right straddle of Kerry's head.
Ooh.
And carried him under.
Uh-huh.
They both went under. And I got him off of Kerry, and Kerry was about drowned. He had to go to the ledge and rest up a second. And Tony tried to get on top of me, but I wouldn't let him.
You're fighting him off.
And he went down, and he got me by the leg. Well, as he got me by my left leg, and I carried him within about 12 or 14 feet of that ledge.
But on the other side.
He was hanging on, and he turned loose.
And
me and Kerry was out of breath. We would dive down, but we had to come right back up, you know. And just so happened, old Lynn Washburn, you know Lynn.
I know Lynn.
Lynn Washburn, the other two, you don't know. Roy Hal Dutton and Jimmy Washburn.
Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lynn and Jimmy. Roy Hal, they'd been down to Covered Bridge. And they was coming up the river. And they got up there pretty close to us, and they knew something was going on. And one of us hollered and told Lynn that Tony Hayes was drowned. And he got on up there, and old Lynn said, and like I say, we were so give out, we couldn't stay down. You know, we'd go down, but we had to come right back up. Old Lynn said, boys, we can't tell his mom and daddy that he drowned. Said, I'm going down. If I don't get him, I ain't coming back up. And he went down and stayed and stayed and stayed. And we was thinking he might not come back up. But about that time he come up, had Tony on his shoulder. And we got him on out on that sandbank on the other side. And we'd learned not too long before then a little bit about
CPR.
Yeah, but it was, you lay them down, their head downhill and the head sideways, make sure they didn't swallow their tongue, and then you get them right here and just lift them up, let them down, lift them up, let them down. Roy howled up, and he started that. And I swam back across to this side. It was all naked as a jaybird. I mean, you didn't have no bathing suit.
Yeah, no bathing suit.
Yeah.
And
you swimming in your birthday
suit. I swam back
suit.
Across. No, you didn't swim in your underwear. We didn't have no underwear. Most of the time. So I swam back across to the rocks, started putting my clothes on, and in them were Tony was drowning.
He was drowned.
If he hadn't have been doing what done, he was gone. His eyes was open, had trash in his eyes, man. It looked scary.
He was purple.
And then I swam across, started putting my clothes on to go get some help, and they hollered and told me they had him breathing. So I dove in and swam back across over there and stayed till I got him setting up. And then I dove in and swam back across, put my clothes on, come got a tractor and a wagon, and went down around the covered bridge and went over and picked him up.
You went on the standard side to get him?
Yeah, it's the side it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them, of course, all of them rode home on a wagon. We got him home. And I didn't see, when I went after the tractor and wagon, I didn't see nobody. It was at the barn. I just went up there and got it. And when we got back, Mother was there, and she carried him to Dr. Whitmer and Aniana. And Dr. Whitmer examined him real good and everything, said he's going to be all right. But said if he'd have been under there 2 or 3 more minutes, his lungs would have busted.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I'm going to tell y'all a long time ago baseball story.
All right.
And I got my hand up.
Scout's honor.
That's telling the truth.
Okay. All right.
You know, there's 10 of us boys. And we played baseball, and we were playing in Alec Cheatwood's pasture. And I can't remember if it was Blow Gourd or which one of the teams from across the river we was playing. It was on a Sunday afternoon. I played right field. Terry probably was in outfield somewhere. We was only about 10 year old. But this dude, you know, going up right field, it was uphill. This dude, he hit a line drive, and I charged that thing and throwed him out at first base. But anyway, on into the story, we was behind. We was behind, and we had the bases loaded. Well, Doc come up to bat. Paul come up to bat, and everything from center field over to left field, it was flat. There's a bunch of them old swamp bushes down there. Well, Jerry, he was coaching first base, and Paul hit one down in the swamp. Well, everybody was running. Old Jerry jumped up and down a little bit, and old Jerry fell in and come around and scored two. We scored a 5-run home run, and we beat him 1 run. We beat him 1 run.
5-run
home run.
First base
coach scored two.
Huh?
First base coach scored two.
Yeah, he scored that. Now, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
That's how you win one right there.
5-run home run.
He didn't really mean to. He just got excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Coming on around.
We either beat them or we whooped them.
Yeah, one or the other. Well, now, since we're on the riverbank, what kind of fishtails you got? I know Malloy's got one.
Let me tell one that about carrying Gerald's son.
All right.
Well, Gerald, you got to watch Kerry because he'll walk all over that boat. And
they're putting out trot line.
We were putting out trot lines. Me and Kerry's the ones that has always put the trot lines in.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother was in the hospital, so I went to the hospital, and Gerald did my job, is sitting in the back running the boat.
Staring.
Gerald had just got out of hospital 10 days. I had been in the hospital 10 days in California, and Terry was with him when he got sick. And I was at the hospital, and Gerald called. He said, "Malloy, how's your brother?" I said, "Well, he's doing all right. Kerry wants to talk to you." So Kerry got on the phone. Got on the phone, and he said, "How's your brother?" I said, "He's all right. He's doing okay. We sunk your boat."
We had buckets of brick and all that stuff in that boat.
And Gerald was sitting in the back with a cigar, smoking a cigar. I wasn't paying attention to him. He walked on that side with all them bricks and everything. It flipped.
Over he went.
And Gerald was about to drown. He just got out of the hospital, and he couldn't swim or good, and he was about to go under, and God or somebody sent him a life preserver, floated right by him.
It probably wasn't Kerry. It had to be the good Lord to send it right by.
That's about the truth.
But anyway.
Kerry's probably trying to swim himself.
Kerry had the end of the boat, and he tied it on a tree up on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got up there, I could see was the nose of the boat. The rest of it was under the water. Mm. And they worked and dug ditches and everything else to get up that bank, and if they'd have walked 20 feet further down, they could have walked out.
Just walked out.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work, so clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
You know them preachers back in the day, a lot of them preachers.
Oh, watch out.
A lot of them preachers didn't live, you know, in the community.
They's traveling.
Yeah, well, they, you know, like the Brother J.L. McCombs, he was our pastor, and he was way over Caroline.
Preacher Chambliss.
You know, ever so often it come your time to take the preacher and his family home for mm-hmm. dinner. Well, you know, back in the day, you know, we always had to wait. You know, if you had company, you had to wait to eat. Well, the preacher come, his family, they sit in there and eat. Me and Terry's people around the corner, we're about to starve to death. And we know there wasn't going to be nothing but a wing left or a neck when we got there. But anyway, Daddy said, "Brother so-and-so, get another piece of that chicken." "Oh, Mr. Thomas, I done had four pieces." Man, I'm Terry, about to have a heart attack. And Mother had made a big old chocolate pudding with that meringue on top of it. I was telling this to the black boys up there in the plant up there, and I said, "You know, we done pretty good till we heard that preacher with that spoon scraping the bottom of that pudding pan." No. I said, "We couldn't take that no longer."
And we was getting on in there and getting a bite.
Yeah.
A preacher and another man, something had fell down in these people's well, and they was trying to
fish it out.
Get it out. And the preacher accidentally spit his teeth out. His false teeth. All right. Y'all don't hear it. So.
No, I ain't never heard it. I'm okay. Listening.
Anyhow, the preacher lost his false teeth in the well. And they was started trying to fish them out somehow or another to get them out. And this little six-year-old boy come along and said, "What are y'all doing, preacher?" He said, "Son, I spit my teeth out in the well, and we're trying to get them out. He said, go in there and get one of them chicken legs that Mama's got cooked and put it on a string and drop it in the well. Said, them teeth are grabbing.
I've seen it do it too many times and know he won't.
Them preachers could eat some chicken now. But I was helping Leon Mars and them up there pick peaches. And he had a preacher up there helping pick peaches. And the grass was about that deep. Well, the preacher had his, had his false teeth. Had his false teeth in his pocket. And he lost them. And we was looking for his teeth. And this one old boy, he looked at him. He said, preacher, he said, we'll go get a chicken wing and drag it through this grass.
And try to get it, huh?
And drawn to, bound to be drawn
known,
to.
And knowing what the cure was telling a while ago about having to wait. Even all day dinners, decoration, and much less at hog killing time. Us young'uns had to say hog killing time. They always cooked tenderloin and biscuit ribs. And gravy and
ribs.
Coffee and everything. I don't know about no ribs.
Yeah, they always cooked ribs.
For lunch, for dinner, and all the grown folks would go in there and eat, and we had to stay out there and keep the chickens and the dogs and the cats run away from the meat. And I mean, we were starving to death, too.
You're dead.
Run, hush. I told you to be quiet. Anyhow, Lord. Anyhow, they'd sit in there and they'd eat. Right here. We'd know if we got any gravy, it was just going to be sopping the bowl because it was all going to be gone. But anyhow, they'd eat, and then the men would slide back in the chair and light them up a cigarette and have them a cigarette and everything. But what I'm getting around to, they done that at all-day dinners at church.
Mm-hmm.
The people there, the kids, like, we would 8, 5, 6, 7 years old, had to wait. And just as me and Kerry got old enough to be first, they changed the dadgum rule.
Oh,
bring them kids on in here. They hungry. Let's feed them kids.
Change the rules on you.
Right in the middle of the game.
My gracious.
We never did get to be
first. Never did get to be first.
No. That happened.
Well, you know, the Bible says the first will be last and last will be first. There, it just proved to be true there,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to take care of everybody else before you take care of yourself.
Yeah. Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
I won't ever forget the last time my mama gave me a whooping. She told me to, I'd done something. I'm sure I smarted off. She said, go out there and get me a hickory. I said, all right. Well, I done got old enough to be a little bit of a smart aleck. So I went out and found me a red-nosed briar, and I cut it, and I picked every briar off of the end of the switch except for the handle. And I went back to the house, and I said, I'm gonna get her today, right? And I went back in there, and she was ready because I'd taken my time. She said, what took you so long? I said, well, I was finding a switch. You told me to go out there and get one. And I just flipped it out there, but the handle in towards her where I'd left all the stickers. She grabbed hold of that sticker handle. Buddy, she threw that down and found my daddy's belt. She didn't need the hickory no more.
I got the last whooping I got from Pawpaw, a 16-year-old. And James had gone to college.
Oh, he was getting educated.
He had gone to college. And that Sunday morning, Daddy went off to the orchard looking around. And James aggravated me, and I told him three or four times. I said, James, don't do that no more. I said, I'm tired of hearing it. Well, he didn't stop. Well, I warped him right upside the head. By the time I hit James, Daddy had stepped inside the door.
No.
He whooped me. He broke his belt.
On you?
Yeah. He beat the fire out of me. I was 16 year old.
Did you learn anything from that?
Yeah.
Don't hit James again.
Leave James alone.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever know Jake Washburn? I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did Jake Beatty Hole right there, right up there. The Jake Beatty Hole, that's what it's called, right up there.
Right here's where he fished all his life.
He fished, and right he here. Was a fisherman.
Yeah.
Loved it. He would tell this, this was more or less a testimony he'd give in church from time to time, and y'all might know it already, but he'd ever tell you about the day he learned stop saying bywords? That was what he called them, bywords. You know, he was in church. He was doing, trying to live like he was supposed to. But he fished now. He fished all the time. Him and Aunt Frances was down at what we call right above the baptizing hole where the bridge is, where the cover bridge used to be, Standridge Bridge. And he was fishing. He threw a big old devil's horse plug, you know, and it's got them three treble hooks. One in the front, one in the back, and one right down the middle. He threw it out there, and he threw it just a little bit too far, just cast it a little bit too far, and it wrapped around a log that was washed up against that bridge abutment. And he went to yanking on it, and he couldn't get it to come loose, and got a little frustrated, and he said him a goodbye word, he called it. And when he did, he yanked on it one more time. That devil's horse cut loose. And he said he saw it all the way. It was coming straight to him. And he heard the Lord speak to him. He said, I'll shut your mouth. He said that devil's horse hit him right here. And all three treble hooks, one in the cheek, one in this cheek, and one across in both lips, shut smooth tight. He said, when it did, he thought, my goodness, you know, that hurt. He didn't know how bad it was until Aunt Frances looked at him and she just kind of turned pale. And he said, well, he didn't say nothing. He just grabbed hold to it and she didn't know what to do. So he had to go to the doctor
holding
the devil's horse just like this. And he said he learned real fast. That was a life lesson he learned. The bywords are not needed. And he said that was the last day he used that word. Devil's horse shut his mouth. Mm. How ironic it was called devil's horse, huh?
Well, we got a new person here that you may see. Mr. Gerald's back, and you remember him from a previous episode. He is with Mr. Terry on one. He's going to sit down here and tell us one, but Mr. Carey's got one more story to tell before we get to Mr. Gerald's story. Go ahead, Mr. Carey.
Well, Brother J.L. was preaching revival at Cold Spring Baptist Church off of 69, I guess it is. Ain't up there, mm-hmm. past Bug Tussle or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Well, the first night, I went by myself. And the next night, I carried my mother and Aunt Lorraine and Janet, their cousin. And is having a testimony service, and I've never seen or heard the lightning like it did. I mean, it just jarred that church house. Well, after the testimony service, Brother JL got in the pulpit and started preaching. The lights went out. Brother JL said, don't y'all worry about a thing. I ain't got a thing wrote down. You know how he preached. But man, he fired down. And these guys left and went home. and brought back some lights. And I don't know if it was that storm. I think 14 people got saved that night. And I don't know. I don't know if it's his preaching or the lightning. That actually happened.
Combination.
Yeah. And him and you remember his wife, I think, maybe Brother Gerald's wife. The school teacher that went to church there, they stayed with him about all night praying with him. He said the Lord had been calling him to preach, I forget how many years, and he'd been turning them away. And he said that night, if he hadn't confessed to go into the ministry, he said he believed the Lord was going to take him out.
Take him away out of here.
All that happened right up there at Bug Tussle, Alabama, son.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
When the night the storm hit.
14 people got saved. Nobody got struck by lightning.
And one called to preach.
One called to preach and 14 got saved.
At a testimony service. Well, Mr. Gerald, you got your white boots on. That must mean you got a good story to tell.
Well, it's not really good. I can't think of one of my best ones now, but I'll tell you another church story. When I was a kid, the old white frame building we had up there at Oak Grove, they had old wood frame windows that raised, and they'd prop them up with sticks. And this neighbor, I'm not going to call his name, but he would never go in the church house, but he'd come to revival all the time. And revival would be in hot summertime, you know, sort of like the 1st of September and still be hot and all. He'd stand outside and stick his head in the window while the preacher was preaching and all. Well, one night he knocked the stick out from under it and the window fell down, whacked him across the back of the neck and almost broke his neck.
Wait, what did he say after all that happened?
I never did hear him say anything, really, but it hurt him when that window fell on his neck.
Did he come back?
Yeah, he come back.
Did
son.
He stick his head back in the window?
No. He never stuck his head back
in
the window.
He'd stand outside and look through the window and stay away from it.
He learned that lesson.
Yeah.
You know, back in them days when you had revival, the church would be pretty much full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would
like
be
Gerald
full.
Like Gerald said, as always, some of those men Looking through the window.
You know, it was full. What, Terry, what did you tell me the other day why y'all went to church?
Why?
Why'd you go to church when you was a kid?
They had drug problems. Their mama drug them to church.
What Terry told me the other day was, he said, is either go to church or to the cotton patch, and I wasn't going to the cotton patch.
So, show was a better option.
So I'm going to the church house.
We used to hold a service if a chicken got run over or a dog got run over.
Well, let me tell you this one.
We had preaching.
Years ago, service.
I was probably about 9 years old. Me and Jesus and Johnny Burt was up at Joel's barn, Uncle General's barn, catching chickens and toting them to the nest, trying to make them lay an egg. We had this one old hen we couldn't catch. And I said, well, GC, we're going to just have to let her go. We can't catch her. And GC said, well, just kill her. Well, I picked up a rock. Of course, it was an accident, but I hit that old hen. I threw it hard as I could, hit that old hen right in the head, and she went to flopping. Oh, it killed her dead. GC took off and run into the house. Mother, Gerald, just kill one of your chickens.
that's one thing GC was good at.
Tattling.
It was in the summertime, and they didn't have us to clean the chicken or nothing, so a bunch of us had the funeral. We got in that sewage pipe down there by the peat shed, and Paul was the preacher, and let's see, two or three of my sisters in there, Betty and Colleen and Janet, we was down there with. We all had a testimony service, spoke about the chicken house, and I remember Colleen getting up and saying, yeah, she was such a fine chicken. And all of that. And then Paul Priest, he had a dollar bill. He had a new dollar bill in his pocket. He got that dollar bill out and preached about that dollar bill over the chicken's funeral.
I want to know who took up the offering, though.
They didn't have no offering that day.
We wasn't Baptists at that time.
I was going to say, you wasn't Baptist then.
We wasn't Baptists at that time. We was down there pulling pocketbook, pulling the purse down there where you turn to come down to the river.
Okay, that's good. Tell us what purse it. Now, you got to set that up first. So that's when you put the pocketbook out in the road, and when somebody drives by, you yank it out of the road.
When they got out and come back to get it.
You yank it out, and then you have a fun time and just laugh about it, right? Okay.
They was me and Terry and Lynn and Jimmy and probably Pat and GC. I guess it was. We was pulling the pocketbook. No, we had never got started pulling the pocketbook that day. We messed around in that junk pile down there, and Sue Swan and her boyfriend came by. But we killed this huge chicken snake. And we was there, and Joe Aldridge and Sammy Hudson's son come down through there in an old van-like outfit. And the Hudson boy, he was had his foot down here like one of them doors that open up. Old Lynn had that snake going around like this, and he turned that thing loose, and it went right in on top of old Joe Aldridge. And he slammed on his brakes, and that thing fishtail this way and fishtail that way. I thought he'd gonna run off into that rocky branch.
Yeah.
Well, Daddy had planted oats in that big field there. And we headed to the river, and GC and somebody laid down out there in that oat field. And they seen them raise up, and they got them. Me and Lynn and them, we was always nearly to the river. And Terry was at you. Y'all come down through there and told us we had to get back up there. We're going to jail.
Going to jail.
Yeah. Well, we went back up there, and they wanted Lynn and Terry. They told them if they would have a little scrap between them, they wouldn't go tell General Pauline Jake them. Lynn said, well, I'm older than Terry. She said, I'm not going to hit Terry. Well, that went on for a little while. And old Pat Adams, he done slipped off. I seen him going by Dan's barn over there. Pat was home free. Well, here we was. Daddy and mother come up buying that about a ton and a half truck. Had one old drop tailgates with your chain.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled up and stopped and Daddy said, you boys want to go with us to see Grandma Thomas? And we told him we believe we would.
Yeah.
We would. We bailed over in the back of that truck, and there wasn't nobody left but Lynn and Jimmy, and I don't know.
Don't know what happened after that, huh?
I don't know what happened to that.
All right, well, this was the Goat House Branch storytelling down here on the river, something these old fellas been doing for a long time, 24 years, as they said. And so we came down here impromptu, got some good stories about fishing on the river, preaching, preachers, churches, all kinds of things, and even a
chicken funeral
that Mr. Gerald told us about. But this is the Hayden, Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Gerald.
I'm Kerry.
I'm Malloy.
And we'll see you next time.